kind of self-employed for a while, keeping records, how crucial that is, keeping up with your daily, you know, your routine, where you've driven, the miles you've driven, the jobs you've done, the money you've taken in, all that stuff's critical. And I thought many times while I was doing that in business for myself, I thought, wow, I'm an absolutely terrible record keeper. Because, you know, some of it be like, when did I do that? What did I do that? So I'd have to go back and look and dig and look and find. God's not like that. As soon as we make that move, as soon as we step out, or as soon as we do something, God, he's got it right there in the book. There ain't no question. There ain't no question. Was my servant Joshua, was he faithful to do it on that day? Angels, come here and give me a hand. Help me remember. No, that's not God. God's got it in the book, and God sees every bit of it. Amen? So one day when we receive those great rewards, we'll be rewarded for that. Amen? And you're rewarded for your faithfulness. Amen? Just remember that. You're rewarded for your faithfulness. Amen? Praise God. God's good. Do you love the Bible? Amen. Say, I love God's Word. Amen. I love God's Word. So I was thinking this week, I was kind of pondering or meditating or reflecting or remembering, and I was looking back and thinking about my life. That's generally what we tend to do. We generally tend to think about our own lives. You know, we think about others too. But when I was thinking back to that, I thought, you know, there's been a handful of times that I knew, I don't know that I exactly knew at that time in my life, but when I thought back, when I remembered, when I looked back, I see now that those certain times in my life were very pivotal moments in my life. Amen? And, you know, you can go back as far as when you remember, you can go back. Like I said, I was born again when I was 7 or 8 years old in a Baptist church. Being that young of a kid, I still know that was a pivotal time in my life. That's the day I gave my life to the Lord. So that was a pivotal time in my life. So that was in my younger years. Well, in my teenage years, I thought back, and it's funny how the Holy Spirit, it's funny how God will bring those certain little memories to your mind. He brings those little memories to remembrance for a reason. And I thought the next time I was a teenager and I was going through some things in my life and probably wasn't exactly where I was supposed to be with the Lord. And I remember sitting outside on those steps outside my nice little trailer home that God had blessed me with. And at that time when I was 18 years old, I was blessed with that trailer home. But I was sitting outside on those steps and I was thinking, God, I need you. More and more, God, I know there's more to this. God, I know I need you. So at that time, when I was crying out to God, that was a pivotal moment in my life. When we have those moments in our life, God's working something in us. God's preparing us for the future. So move on past that point. And I think about another pivotal time in my life. It's when I joined this church, when I become a part of this body. The very first time I came in here and sat on the back row, I was with Penny and I thought, I don't know. This ain't like any other church I know of. But, you know, God had a plan. And when I was, like I said, when I was thinking about this, to think where I was, where I was at, and where He's brought me today. And we've all done that, right? Everybody's done that. You think where I was then and where I'm at today. How? But God. In my life, but God. Only God can do that. It's like Pastor Ronnie says, only God can unscramble eggs. I feel like I was a broken, scrambled up egg when He put me back together. And He's still working on it. Amen? Every one of us, He's still working on us. Amen? So when I joined this church, that was a pivotal point in my life. to fulfill the call that God's put on my life. And then this one was kind of, this was just kind of out of left field. There's one particular morning, I remember driving in the truck, and I was headed down 26, down Airport Road, and I know at that time I had started consuming all the Word. I'd had CDs in, I was listening to the Word, I was reading, just consume as much, because there was a whole lot I didn't know. Coming from a Baptist church into a non-denominational Pentecostal church, there's a lot you don't know. It's kind of like Norma Jean said earlier tonight, it's like pulling from a deeper well. When you come into this house or you come into the Holy Spirit and things, gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're drawn out of a deeper well. So I was consuming all these things and listening to all these things, and I was going down the interstate and I was praying in the Spirit. And God said, that was a pivotal time in your life. Okay. I didn't realize that at that time. All I knew that I was praying in the Spirit, I was praising God, and I was going to help Sean one day on a job, just driving down the road. But he said that was a pivotal. So I spoke something out that day in the Spirit that needed to be spoken out, directed towards my future. So it don't have to be some great big bang or some big party show for it to be a pivotal moment in your life. But let God remind you of those times. Let him bring those back to your memory and kind of meditate on those. Because like I said, this week I was just kind of reflecting back and thinking. And you know what it brought me to? It brought me to give more glory and give more thanks to God. I found all week long that I was praising Him, that I was thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen? So remember those pivotal moments in your life, because they do mean something. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's get into Bible. Do you have your Bible? Do you have your device with your Bible? Do you have your Bible memorized? Well, I thought I'd try it. There's only, what is it, Rick Renner? He can quote the Bible. Man, give me some of that. Right? That man can quote the Bible. I think he has the Bible memorized. And if I'm misquoting that, if he doesn't have it memorized, I apologize, Rick Renner, and forgive me, Lord. But I think I did hear somewhere or another that he pretty well had it, a lot of it memorized. Amen? That's pretty ingenious. That's pretty, you know, that's a gift of God. If he truly does that, God's gave him that photographic memory. I'd like to have that. Just to be able to look at something and read it and then it be imprinted in my mind. That'd be awesome. All right, praise God. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles. And let's go to 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Starting in the Old Testament. I like reading the Old Testament. I mean, I know the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament is history, everything we read. But if you really want to get some back history on biblical times, we read in the Old Testament. I mean, because the Israelites and the Egyptians and all the things that went on, there's some really neat historical stuff in there. So I find myself reading in the Old Testament a lot. So are you in 1 Chronicles chapter 16? So this is where David, he brought the ark and he put it in the tabernacle of David. So in this tabernacle, he set a place up for the people that they could worship God. Excuse me. And I like in verse 4, it says, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Amen? So he gave these Levites, these priests, a job to do. Amen? But let's look down in 8. This is what really got me stirred up this week and got me going. Down in verse 8, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's what I've done this week. I hope that's what you've done this week. Give thanks to the Lord. And when I thought about that, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord daily. Give thanks to the Lord hourly. Give thanks to the Lord during the day. Give it to Him during the night. You give Him thanks all day, all night long. Amen? Amen. We give Him thanks. And then call upon His name. How many of us have ever called upon His name? All the time. Amen? If you ain't called upon His name, try it. I call upon His name for His mercy, for His grace, for His healing, for His restoration, for His deliverance. I call upon His name all the time. Now, we have a lot of people wrongly calling on His name, and they're using it in the wrong way and in the wrong manner. But we, as Christians, we know how to call upon His name in honor, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a plug for don't take His name in vain. Make known His deeds among the people. I like that. Make known His deeds. So what's that telling us to do? We make known, we go out, we tell people His deeds that He's done. We show people the deeds that He's done. In us, we can make His deeds known to other people. And when we make His deeds known to other people, they'll discover Him and they'll find out, and they'll find out that they're figuring out who God is for themselves once we show them and tell them. Amen? Yeah. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. So, what's that? That's praise Him. Praise God. Praise God all the time. Praise God with every breath you have. Praise God. Amen? We praise God. That's what we do. That's part of our job title. If, as Christians, if we have a job title, which we do, that is in our job title. Praise me. Praise God. Worship God. Amen? So sing to Him. Talk of all His wondrous deeds. Amen? That's what we do when we're around people. We talk of His wondrous, of His works, His wondrous works and what He's done for us. Amen? So this is a pretty good song that David's got going on here. And it says, glory in His holy name. So bring honor to God's holy name. Show honor to the King of Kings. Amen? Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So that's telling me right there that my heart should be full, that my heart should be overflowing. I should be rejoicing. My heart should be glad. Amen? Yeah. Is your heart glad? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Amen. Seek the Lord and His strength. I like that one too. I had to find out because I looked up strength because I wanted to know exactly what that was. When we seek, we search, we look, we find, we ask. And when it says seek Him in His strength, it's power and security. We find that security in Him. Amen? So seek Him. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done. That's part of what I did this week. I looked back and I remembered His marvelous works that He had done in my life. And each and every one of us can do that. We can look back through our life and we can remember every time God has came through for us. You know, and I was thinking this morning, you know, it's funny how you always have these thoughts in the bathroom when you're getting ready and stuff. But I guess that's just your time to meditate. But I was standing and I was thinking, God, You're so good. God, You've never failed me yet. And it was like, that was a wrong statement. Failed me yet. So I got corrected in a hurry. God never fails. You know, and I probably picked that up in a song or something. I've heard that somewhere or another. God's never failed me yet. No. God never fails. Amen. We sometimes, when we're going through things and we're going through situations and we're looking at it through our eyes, and God don't come through exact time that we're thinking that he should, you know, some people might think, well, God, you sure failed me this time. You didn't come through for me, God. But they've got the wrong perspective. They've got their own perspective. They don't have God's. And then it may be 6 months down the road, God works it out for them, and they look back and go, I thought you failed me. God, I thought you failed me. But like I said, God never fails. Amen? So remember, we remember what he's done for us. And down in verse 23, it says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. What's that mean? What's that mean? When we proclaim the good news of his salvation, I tell you, real easy what that means. We are born again Christians on our way to heaven, not on our way to hell. And when we proclaim that good news, we proclaim that to one another, and we proclaim that to the world, because the world needs Jesus. Amen? So we proclaim our salvation to them that they might become saved. And when does it say? I like that when it said from day to day, not from week to week. And I'll be honest with you, I'll probably slack in it. But it don't say from week to week. It don't say from month to month. It don't say from year to year. Have we proclaimed our salvation from day to day? I mean, in our own hearts, yes. I'm sure. Thank God every day that I'm not on my way to hell. But there's more to it. There's more to that. Amen? God saved us from that, and we accepted him for that. And it's up to us to proclaim that to the world that they might be saved also. Amen? Praise God. And I like that in 25. It says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. So as I was studying this week, I just kept going back to this section of Scripture. And I just kept looking over that and kept looking over that. And I just felt something rising up in me. And, you know, whether it was the anointing, whether it was my joy becoming full, like we said before, that was my medicine for the week. And that's what I kept drawing out of. That's the well I kept drawing out of. And by today, I was just like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. You know, it's funny. It's funny how the enemy will work on you. Because last time I stood up here and ministered, the enemy was playing his games. He was attacking. And, you know, the more and more you do this, the more and more you grow in God, the more and more you minister, the quicker you are to, you know, defend yourself or fight those battles. And you know you see that attack. Well, I seen the attack. I knew what the attack was, and I knew how he was coming at me. But that still don't change that we are but flesh. And in our own insecurities, and in our own weaknesses, whereas, you know, I should have been drawing more and more out of God. I should have been drawing more and more from his Spirit. But we all suffer those attacks, and we all go through those attacks. Your life, where you get attacked, will be maybe totally different than where my life is attacked from the enemy at. But the key is recognizing that attack and knowing how to take the word and knowing how to take God and knowing how to take that boldness and that security that God has placed in each and every one of us in winning that battle. I mean, Pastor Ronnie, he was talking the other day about those demons that was at the end of his bed. And, you know, he said that he could see them, and they weren't but maybe this tall. That's a good perspective to have. I mean, I'm sure there's demons that are probably bigger than that. But if you think about that, when that little demon comes up to bother you, demon, go away. Leave me alone. You're beneath my feet. God has placed me far above you. And you cast him out. And you tell them they have no authority in your life. And you use the word against them. You rise up in that boldness that God's given you. and you fight. Amen? Don't ever let down, don't ever let your guard down to the point that you can't fight no more. Amen? We always, always have to have our armor up and ready to fight. So, just filling y'all in on a little backdrop of what's going on with me. That's kind of what, you know, that's kind of what goes on. And we all can sense that. We can sense that on a Friday night or on Sunday morning, anytime when we come in here. If you really tune into the Spirit and tune into what's going on, you can tell if a heaviness is in here. You can tell if an oppression's in here. You can tell what's going on in the atmosphere. And that's our job as the body. That's my job. That's your job. When you're sitting out there, or I'm sitting out there, when we feel that, when we know that's moving, when we know that attack is on the ground and it's trying to enter in, that's our job to pray against that, to speak against that. Amen? Don't just sit there like a stick, a hump on a log. Stick. That didn't go right. But you know what to do. We are well-taught Christians in here. We know Ephesians. We know how to fight. We know the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. We know how to pray. We have been taught this. So don't just sit out there and think, I'm kind of hungry tonight. Want to drive through or go to a restaurant? No, no. Pull your shield up. Pull your sword out. Amen? Amen? Praise God. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, well, let's go to Luke. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we don't do that. I know that we do that. I know there's people out there that they can feel that and they can sense that and they pray against that. I know that. But there's some that doesn't. So I feel as part of my responsibility and part of your responsibility, it is we should tell one another, that we should speak up to one another. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I see this attack going on in your life. Do you recognize that? Do you know what's happening in your life? Let me give you some scripture to go with that. Let me give you some bullets. Let me reload your shell for you. Amen? We uphold and we stand behind. It's like holding Moses' arms. We stand behind each other like that. And we build and encourage each other like that. Amen? If we're not doing that, are we truly a body? I mean, if something on my body gets hurt, if my toe gets hurt, does the rest of my body not know that my toe's hurt? Absolutely. I mean, I can feel it when I walk. My whole body can feel that something's going on with my toe. My mind says, hey, body, something's happening to your toe. Are you going to do anything about it? Well, yes, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to find out what's wrong with my toe, and I'm going to see what I can do to help it, and I'm going to repair it, and I'm going to give it the medicine it needs, whatever it needs, and I'm going to get my toe straight so the rest of my body don't hurt from it. That's our job with one another. If you see your brother and sister hurting, if you see something wrong and you can do something for them, please do it. Amen? Praise God. All right, did we move on yet? Are you in Luke? Luke 17. Amen. Let's see, where do we want to start? I'm still in Chronicles. I got to get out of Chronicles. I told you that's where I've been stuck all week. Chronicles. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. I'm going to get that stuck in your head tonight. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 17, let's look in verse 11. And I like this. There's a lot of places in the Bible as soon as you read it. It says, now it happened. It's like, what happened? Something happened. Something happened here that my attention needs to be drawn to the scripture. I'm not saying that the rest of the Bible doesn't need to be drawn to. But when it says, now it happened. Okay, let's find out. Now what happened? It says, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So when you look this scripture up, This is the beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. And this is the beginning of a very hard journey, because at this point in time, Jesus knew that he had been called up, that he was to be received up. So Jesus, at this point in time, he knew what was about to happen in his life. So on this journey, this was one of the places, that one of the very first places he come to after he knew that, hey, I'm getting ready to go through some stuff. So this is one of the places he stopped off at. It says, then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And I thought about that when I was reading. You know, lepers, at that time, if you're lepers, you are, I guess at that time, that was probably like one of the worst plagues or one of the worst diseases that these people were seeing at that time. So they were standing off afar for a reason. And the reason that they were standing off afar, because in the Old Testament and under the law, they were required to be outside the camp. Like, they couldn't come inside the camp. They had to dwell outside. So there was a reason they were standing afar off. And I thought about that. Let's bring it into the church. Let's bring it into the homebody. And I was trying to wrap around. A lot of times we have people come into the house. They come into the church. And they'll visit for a little while. They'll stay for a little while. They'll sit in the back for a little while. And they'll stand afar off. They never tap in. They never draw near to what's going on. Not saying that they're not drawing near to Jesus. I'm sure they're drawing near to Jesus the best they can. But when they come in, it's like they don't plug into that body. That they don't try to become a part. They stand afar off. And I've been in that place. And I was probably in that place when I first came to this church, because I remember sitting in the very back. And I had things going on in my life that I wasn't quite ready to get rid of. I don't know if that's the right statement, quite ready to get rid of. I don't know that I knew how to get rid of yet. So I was standing afar off. And I was standing afar off. I knew Jesus. Remember, I was born again when I was 8 years old. So I've been brought up in church. I knew Jesus. I knew where I was supposed to be. I knew I was supposed to be serving him. But I let those circumstances and I let those conditions and those things going in my life to keep me afar off. So I didn't want to really draw near to the people in here. No offense if you were here 19 years ago now. No offense that I didn't want to draw near to someone that had more Jesus, had more love, and wanted to express that. Amen? So there was a reason these lepers were standing afar off. And I thank God I wasn't standing afar off because of the same reason they have. If you ever looked up leprosy, if you ever looked up the condition and what all it does to the body, it is crazy, absolutely crazy. They had a problem with some of the leprous people. They would go to bed at night, and they would go to sleep at night. They would wake up in the next morning, and one of their fingers would be gnawed off from a rat because they had no feeling in their fingers. No, I mean, it's amazing how that disease attacks the body. That disease not only attacks the outside of the body from where you see the boils and all the nastiness from it, it also attacks the inside of the body. And I thought about this when I was reading this. I thought, sin does the same thing. It does. Sin attacks the outside and it attacks the inside. It may take a little bit longer for one or the other to show up, but sooner or later you'll see it. It'll either manifest on the outside. And we've talked about this before. We always see it. When you see somebody come into the body or come get born again or something, when they first came in, they may, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with slouchy clothes and tennis shoes or whatever. I'm just telling you, this is just my example. But you see them come in, and they'll have like a big baggy sweatshirt on, some sweatpants, And now they're coming into Sunday service. And I know Penny would love to come in here with a big baggy sweatshirt and sweatpants on, but we can't do that. But you'll see them come in, and they're kind of dragging, and they don't have real good posture, and they're kind of moping, and their countenance is not real high. And then they get plugged into God. Then they get born again. And a few weeks later, or a few months, or whatever it takes, you see them come back in. They've got some nice-looking pants on. They may have a button-up shirt. And then it's like, they're getting it. They're getting it. And then a few days go by later, you see them roll up. I'm going to use a man for example. You see them show up in a suit. It's like, now they're really getting it. I'm not saying that you have to wear a suit to please God. I'm saying when you're concerned about your representation, how you're representing a Christian, how you're representing Christ, when you come in and you have made that effort, and it don't take a suit, it don't take a dress, but you've made that effort to look the best you can possibly look, you know then, hey, they've had a change in their life. I know Pastor Ronnie, I always think about that when Pastor Ronnie talks about when he got born again, that the people that would drive by his house, they had no idea that Pastor Ronnie got born again, but they knew by driving by his house that something had happened. Who knows what he done? He may have cleaned the kegs up out of the field. I don't know what he done. But they knew something happened. Amen? It's a good thing to see that. I honestly think it pleases God to see that. Amen? So, if you're that person, and I don't believe there's anyone in here, this goes out on the internet. So if you're that person and you're standing afar off and you want to get plugged into the body, you want to draw near to Christ, you want to know more of Jesus, just do it. Get in there. Jump in there. Find somebody that will help you. Find somebody that will take you in and say, let's go. Let's do this. Let's get you closer. Let's draw you closer. And that person can help you. That person can pray with you. That person, you can have Bible study. Whatever you need, find somebody that will help you. Amen? So don't stand afar off. But these lepers had to stand afar off because that was part of the law. Let's look in Leviticus right quick. Let's go to Leviticus 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Don't ask me to go no more. I have to get those little songs like Morgan has. You know, God's given me a real good ability. He's given me this awesome ability to where I can take my Bible and I can do like this and I can find it pretty quick. Y'all got that ability? Has he given you that ability? I don't know that that's an ability, but that's how I find books in the Bible and it works for me. Amen. All right, 13. Let's look at... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Well, if you want to read about the laws concerning leprosy, we'll save this for another day, but I'll come back to it in a minute. But if you want to read at some point about it, you can read chapter 13. But you can hold that place or you can lose that place and we'll find it again. But turn back over with me to Luke right quick. So they were standing afar off, the 10 lepers. And we're in verse 13 now. Y'all found Leviticus. Amen. Yeah. All right, verse 13. And it said, they lifted up their voices and said, all right, I got to stop there. They lifted up their voices. If you read about leprosy and you find out about leprosy, it attacks the larynx. And their voice probably, it was probably amazing that they were even able to lift their voice up enough to where Jesus could even hear them because the way it attacks their body. But I like looking at it like this. They didn't just lift their voice up. They cried out. They cried out to Jesus. Remember that time I told you that was a pivotal point in my life where I was sitting on the steps of my back porch? I was crying out to Jesus. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know which direction to go. I didn't know what to do. And I know many of you have been in that place before too. When we cry out to God, He is sure to hear us. Amen? Just like these lepers. They lifted their voice. They cried. If Jesus gave attention and gave heed to 10 lepers crying out to Him in that time, and they needed some healing, would He not so much more now hear us when we cry out? As His children, under the new covenant, blood bought, born again, when we cry out, He hears us. Don't be afraid to cry out. Cry out to Jesus. Amen? It's nice not to be in that position where you're having to cry out to Jesus. But I know if I need to, He hears me. Amen? So they've mustered up enough strength. I'm thinking they're pretty weak. So they've mustered up enough strength and they've lifted up their voices and they say, Jesus. They knew Jesus. And this is the next part. Master. Master. Wow. Did they recognize Him as Master for who He was? Or did they recognize Him for Master for what He could do for them? How do we recognize Jesus? Do we truly recognize Him as Master? Have we truly made Him Master over all points in our life? I'll tell you, and I say it when I get up here, I speak for myself as much as I do anything. When I ask that question, when I send that question out, when I send that question out over the camera, I ask that to myself also. Have I truly made Him Master over my life? I hope one day that we can all say amen to that, that we have truly made Him Master. I've written some things down. The Master, I like this right here. It says, most important, teacher, chief, and this is the one that got me right here, commander. Commander. He is our commander. If you're in the military and you're under rank and you don't do what that commander tells you to do, there's going to be some backlash over that, right? Because we're all in rank. We have a rank. And I like how the kingdom of God, I like how the military has kind of, what am I trying to say? They're kind of, God establishes the kingdom and establishes levels and anointings and ranks same way our military does. Our military goes by levels and ranks and authority. Authority is one of the big things. So if Jesus is my commander and He gives me an assignment and He tells me something to do and then I put my own desires and say, Jesus, I really don't want to go clean the mess all day. I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm just going to go on down the road here and do my own thing. If that's the case, have I really made Him Master, Commander in my life? Amen. Check that. We always need to check that. Amen. Hallelujah. Then it says, have mercy on us. Mercy. How many times have we cried out for mercy? Yeah, you know, I find myself on a daily basis. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace on my life. Thank you, God. You know, I think it was Miss Elaine Homer, that said one of the prayers when she gets up in the morning, she claims, thank you, Lord, that you have given me. And I'm not quoting this verbatim, but to the best of my remembrance, she says, thank you, Lord, that you have given me mercy and grace for today. Amen? Amen. That's good. Because his mercies are new every morning. Amen? Thank God we're not riding on some 300-year-old mercy from God. He makes that mercy available to us every day. Amen? And you know what mercy is? It's when God gives us something that we don't deserve. There's nothing that we have done, nothing that we have given him to make us deserve his mercy. But God is so good to us that he extends that mercy every day. Amen? And I think it's over in Psalms where it talks about his tender mercies. That's just another level of his mercies for us. God so loves us and so gives us so much mercy and grace. I mean, that right there alone should be enough every day when we get up that we should thank him and praise him for that. Amen? Praise God for his mercies. Amen. God's good to us. And verse 14 says, so when he saw them, I had to stop there again. So when he saw them. How often does Jesus see us when we've cried out, when we've asked for that mercy, when we're going through that struggle, when we're going through that healing battle, or we're going through that financial battle, or we're going through that restoration battle? Then he saw us. He sees us. Amen? Nobody else in the world sees us like Jesus does. Jesus sees us in our physical state, and he sees us in our spiritual state. And he knows exactly what we need in both of them. Amen? So when he sees us in that state, he's like, oh, you need some extra mercy today. Here comes your extra mercy. Receive your mercy. You have to receive that. Amen? Receive your mercy. Oh, I see you got a bill coming up. I see the struggle's real. Finances are real. Struggle's real. Here it comes. Oh, well, here's you a check in the mail. That'll help you pay that bill. Amen. He sees everything we need. And he's ready. He's ready. He's willing to do what we ask or think. Amen? So he saw them. And he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. You know, I wonder if these lepers thought, you know, we're going to cry out to Jesus, and Jesus is just going to extend his hand out over us and say, be healed in my name. Or I wonder if they thought, when we see Jesus and cry out to him, is he going to give us a command? No, they probably thought when they cried out to Jesus, Jesus was going to come over to them and say, be healed. And they instantly received that healing and went on their way. No, it didn't happen like that. And you know those guys, and they probably felt terrible. They probably looked terrible. And when they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus saw them, and he went up to them and said, go to the priest and show yourself. Those guys had to have thought, go to the priest? Come on, Jesus, do it for me now. I need it now. I don't want to go to the priest. But that's the law. You have to. I can't go back on my law. I can't go back on my word. You have to go to the priest. So those guys faced their first test with Jesus right there. Were they going to be obedient in doing what he told them to do? Were they going to go to the priest? Yeah, they got ready to go. So now let's go to Leviticus. Let's look at that for a minute. What did I tell you it was? Leviticus 16? No, Leviticus 13. Oh, look at that. I used my skill, my talent, and flipped right to it. Praise God. If you're there, say amen. 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 So in chapter 13, let's look in verse 43. So if someone had been determined that they probably had leprosy, they were sent to the priest. And in 43 it says, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling is sore, reddish, white, and his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache. That intrigued me. I was curious about that, but I didn't look it up. I mean, why cover your mustache? So there's you a good little Bible study. I don't know if that's a Bible study, but anyways, you would think that he wouldn't even have a mustache, really. Anyways, and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has a sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So I think it's fair to say, if you had leprosy and you went to a priest and he determined that you had leprosy, I think it's fair to say they figured you to be unclean. Right? That's pretty rough. And I related that to sin. I related that to sinners. Thank God, when I was in a sinful state, or when we were sinners and we weren't, was not born again, thank God we didn't have to run around town claiming unclean, unclean. That's basically what you are. Amen? I mean, the God of the all universe, he could have very well put that in play. If you're a sinner, you have to stand afar off and shout, unclean, unclean. Thank God we don't have to do that. Thank God at that point in time in our lives when we were unclean, thank God we are blood washed, born again. It's his blood that cleansed us. Amen? Praise God. So these lepers, they're deemed unclean. And then it goes on to talk about their garments and stuff. I thought it was really interesting about the lepers and how what it took, you know, all the laws and the examinations and all the things they had to go through. Like I said, at that point in time, that was probably a pretty nasty disease to deal with. Let's look back over in Luke now. So we know that they have to go to the priest. The priest has to examine them, and the priest has to deem them leprosy or deem them, is that even a word? Okay, good. All right, some of my Haywood County slang coming out there. I got some Haywood County Hebrew. Y'all want to hear that? No, I'm kidding. If I get to that, I'll share that with you, but it's not Haywood County. It is Hebrew, though. So they're headed to see the priest. They were obedient to do that. They went on their way to see the priest. And that priest, what was going through their head? It's either going through their head that we're going to see the priest and he's going to deem us with leprosy, or we're either going to the priest and he's going to deem us cured. And then there was a whole process of what the priest had to do. I mean, it took birds and everything else. You had to let birds fly and all kinds of stuff if that priest deemed you healed of leprosy. Before you could be turned back out into society, that priest had to determine, and there's this thing that the whole thing, this sacrament or whatever the thing they had to go through before you were actually released back out into society. But thank God these lepers were obedient enough to obey Jesus when he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And it said, this is so powerful, this verse right here. It says, and so it was that as they went, that's what you got to catch right there. As they went, they were cleansed. Amen? That's us. As we go, as we serve God, as we learn more and more of His love for us, as we grow in the Word, as we grow, as we go in knowledge, as we go in wisdom. Amen? As we go with God, more and more is given to us. Amen? And it says, as they go, they were cleansed. And you know, you can relate that back to healing. When you're believing God for healing, and you're thanking God for healing, and you've received your healing, but that healing sometimes doesn't come instantly. Sometimes that healing takes a season to manifest. But like we said, it's as you go. It's as you put your faith out there, as you believe God, as you call upon God as your healer. Then you receive your healing. I mean, sometimes it happens that it's instant. Sometimes God, He will just instantly do a miracle and He'll heal. But I've heard of more cases it was as they went they received rather than I have instantaneously. Amen? Amen. So whether it's now or whether it's then, does that change our faith? Absolutely not. Our faith stays strong now and it stays then. Amen? So these guys got cleansed. Amen? That was a miracle. Because like I said, I read some pretty bad stuff on how that attacks your body. And until I read how bad leprosy really was, I didn't really realize the miraculous that happened there when these guys got healed. It says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with that loud voice glorified God. One of them. One out of ten. And I thought about that. I thought, sometimes we'll have, and please, I'm not tearing anybody down. I'm not calling anybody out. But I, you know, our life, that's what we have to relate to this stuff. And my life is church. My life is you people. My life is in this, a lot is in this house. So my life relates to a lot of what goes on in here. And I related that to what's going on in here before. You ever noticed how it sometimes in here, well, it's kind of like waves. We'll have waves of people come in. There'll be like a big wave of 10 come in. 10. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Well, and we'll stick with 10. There's like waves of 10 that come in, and then there's like waves of 10 that go out. And then a little while goes longer, we'll have a few more come in and a few more go out. Well, I can honestly say, I'm just using this for an example, out of those 10 people that come in here, I can honestly say the majority of them, you can see their lives being affected by being here. By that not standing afar off, by that drawing near, by coming in and hearing the word that Pastor preaches, and by drawing closer to Jesus and finding out the love of God for their life. And you can see that working in their life. And then slowly, out of those 10, it's 8. It's like there was, you started out with 10 of you. Okay, you're down to 8. I understand. Somebody got a job. Somebody had to move for a job. This is going on. Okay, there's still 8 of you. Praise God. Let's keep in touch with those other two. Let's keep them encouraged and keep them built up. The 8 of you are still here. Praise God. It's good. And then a little while longer, there's 6. Where's the other two at? Well, the other a couple of them relapsed, a couple of them going through this, and a couple of them's doing it. But wait a minute. They were drawing near to God. What happened? And then you get back, and out of those 10, all of a sudden you're down to one. You have one coming in here. You have one coming in here listening to the word. You have one coming in here praising God and standing in the back and lifting their hands and glorifying God for bringing them out of that state they were in. And like this, where's the nine? I mean, I know this is, if you Google where's the nine, if you Google that sermon, if you look it up or whatever, yes, that where's the nine is out there, and it's probably been exhausted as far as a sermon goes. I'm bringing the heart condition of it. Where's the nine? What happened to those people? What happened to those people in their life that they're not in here no more? Did Jesus leave them? Absolutely not. Did the word go in one ear and out the other? They have spirits just like we do. It went in their spirit. Don't be the nine. Be the one. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I want to be that one. I want to be found giving God glory. And I know you do too. Amen? It gets all serious when you talk about don't be the nine. But some things hurt home. When you bring it right down to home, sometimes it hurts. Amen? Be found in the house of God. Better yet, be found serving God. Amen? And that's a plug for all you people out there. Be found serving God. Whether it's this house, it's another house across the street, if God is in that house, be found there. Amen? Serve God with all your heart and with all your might. Amen? And the one returned. And he returned glorifying God. Amen? And that's with honor and praise that he was doing that with. Okay, so with that loud voice, I did want to share this with you right quick because, okay, here comes my Haywood Hebrew. I'm just kidding, it's just Hebrew. And fortunately, the only reason I bring, not the only reason, but these words are actually not too bad to pronounce. So maybe my pronunciation will be okay with this. So glorifying God, he brought honor and praise back to our God. Amen? So I thought this was really interesting when I started studying this out. There is 11 Hebrew words that are translated praise. Amen? But there's 7 of them that are really dominant. And the first one is Todah. That means a thanksgiving choir. Next one is Barak. That means to kneel in thanksgiving. The next one is Talah. Yeah. To sing a song of thanksgiving. Wendy, I'm sure you could pronounce these much better than me, but I'm giving it a swing, so. The next one is Halah. Halal. And that means to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. Yeah. Amen? I think we need a little more halal in here. If we ran around saying halal, 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 I don't know. That didn't kind of sound like Hebrew. That sounded more like, I don't know. I don't know. All right. Well, there was my clamorously foolish. No, praise God. Halal, to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. Yada, to give thanks with extended hands. Amen. That's what we do when we come in here with praise and worship. Amen. We extend our hands. Zamar, to give thanks with a musical instrument. Praise God. You know, I knew that. I knew that we give thanks with a musical instrument because the word David taught us that, and I've always seen that, but I just thought that was interesting how, you know, there's more to it than just, oh yeah, I'm over here playing my bass. I know my facial expression sometimes, it may be that, but you know, I'm concentrating. But no, there's more to it than just picking this chord out or playing this cymbal or this beat. There's more to it. We're actually bringing something before God. We're offering a sacrifice of praise with that instrument, with the ability, with the gifts and talents that He's given us. Amen. And Father God, I pray that you let me play that bass like a black man. I want to be able to thump that bass, increase my ability and talent, because I know some brothers that can absolutely play a bass. Amen. Praise God. And you don't have to be a brother. You can be a white guy, but I need some of that. I need some of that ability. All right, let's move on. Let's get back to Hebrew here. In Shabak, it means to give thanks in a loud tone. Lifted their voices. We lift our voice. Amen? So what I thought was really interesting about this, other than it just being Hebrew words, is in one particular scripture, four out of these seven are found in one scripture. And it's Psalms 100, and I'm going to turn it right quick because I didn't write the, I could probably quote it, but because I paraphrased it out, and I want to read the accurate. Psalms 100, verse 3, let's see. Yeah, here we go. Let's start with verse 4 in Psalms 100. And this was and I'll share this with you in a minute, but it was a really cool way to write it out. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." All generations. Amen. So you take these Hebrew words, and there's four out of the seven found in this one verse, and you paraphrase it down, and you put these Hebrew words in there in their meaning. So I'm going to read it to you paraphrased. It says, "Enter into his gates with a thanksgiving choir, and into his courts with singing praises. Be thankful by extending your hands to him, and bless him by bowing before his name." Amen. Amen. I thought that was cool. Amen. All right, praise God. Where are we at now that we got the Hebrew words out of the way? God's good. I know we're back over in Luke 17. So you can turn back to Luke 17. And we're in verse 16 now. It says, "And fell down on his face at his feet." He bowed before him, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The one guy was thankful out of the ten. And, you know, it intrigued me to why that one guy was a Samaritan. So I got to looking up Samaritans and kind of getting a little history on Samaritans. And the more and more I discovered, I realized that the other nine were Jews. When you look it up and you dig into it, you find out that the other nine were Jews, but this one guy was a Samaritan. So let me tell you a little bit about Samaritans right quick. Samaritans, they, in the time of Judah, Samaritans were disliked by Judah, by the tribe of Judah. Well, in the time of Jesus, Samaritans was disliked by the Jews. So where did the whole Samaritan people come from? So over in 2 Kings, when you read about it, you read about how the Israelites, you know, they've been delivered up out of Egypt, and they've been taken into the promised land. Well, they're living in the promised land, and they're not really serving God. They're not following God. They're not doing what God has intended for them to do. So God removes them out. He takes them out. And the king of Assyria comes in. Let me turn there right quick, just so I can get it right for you. 2 Kings 17. I know we're getting close to running out of time, but Second Kings 17. I let you go early last time I was up here, so that 15 minutes I quit early. I'm just going to run it on past. Is that okay? Jim, you're welcome to leave. You can leave. 2 Kings 17. I'm kidding, Jim. You got to stay. You got to stay the whole time. If you try to leave, I'll holler at Lucky. All right. Let's see. 17. And let's look in 24. It says, then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. So the king brought the Israelites, got ran out. They got taken out, and they basically got taken into Syria. Syria, Lebanon. So they got driven out. But then this king brings in this mixed group of people and put them in and said, okay, you are now Samaritans. So that's where they got this. And there was still a few of the Israelites that was scattered around. And it says this is just the intermarriage of Israel between the foreigners resulted in a people known as the Samaritans. So they intermarried and they got kind of mixed up. And it goes on and talks about how these people, they didn't fear the Lord, then they feared the Lord, and then they had these false idols and they had these false gods. And they set each one of these, the Babylon and the Cutha and the Ava and all those, they all, each one of them had a deity or a false god that they worshiped. Do you want to know what those are right quick? Sure. All right. Praise God. Y'all are awesome. I'm going to share this with you. Amen. Because I looked it up because, you know, I always find this stuff interesting. It's like, what do people find so, what's so, I know it's demons behind it, and I know it's satanic forces, but what do people find so appealing to want to go serve a false god? So anyways, the people of Babylon, they had a deity called Sukoth-Banoth. It was what it's, whatever, the worship of it. It means they, the tents of daughters or young women or prostitutes. Well, that kind of goes right along with Babylon and the things that was going on with that time. So that was what they were worshiping. And then Cuth was Nergal or Nergal, and that was a great man or understood to be the hero. I mean, you've got God. What else? And then Hamath, they had Ashima, which was a god of crime or offense. The Avites, they had Nabhaz, and it was budding or prophesying. It was in the form of a dog, and the name meant to bark. And Tartuk, it was. And now this is false idols. This is false gods that they were worshiping. And one of them's name was Tartuk, and it meant chained, bound, or shut up, and it was in the form of a ass. I'm not repeating that, Jim. A mule, a donkey. I mean, I know it's not bad to say that when you're using it in reference stuff, but In the Severavites, they had Adrammelech, and we've heard of that name before. And that means the cloak, the glory, the grandeur or power of the king. Basically what it was sun worship. They were the sun worshipers. And then the sister or whatever, the deity to that, was Anamelech, and that was the female deity of the moon. It was moon worship. So they had all these false idols and false gods that they were worshiping other than God. So that is the Samaritans. Amen? All right. Let's wrap this up real quick. I had a lot more to tell you about the Samaritans, but you know your Bible well, and you know how to study, so praise God. In verse 17, it says, "So Jesus answered and said, were they not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And we talked about that. You know, Jesus knew where they was at. Why did he ask himself that question? I don't know. I just thought of that. But he did. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God? That's kind of heartbreaking right there. That he knew what he had done for them, knew how good his mercies and grace were, and only one returned. Except this foreigner. Now that you know that those people were brought in and they were put together and they were always considered outsiders. They were never considered Jews. They were never considered Israelites. They were always considered as foreigners. So somebody outside of Jesus' own race, Jesus' race, the chosen race, was a Jew. His own chosen race didn't come back to glorify him, but one foreigner did. Wow, that's amazing. But it's amazing what that man received. He didn't only receive his physical healing. It says in verse 19, "And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Well, when you look into that, if you look at the translations of it and you pull it up, your faith has saved you. Amen? That Samaritan had something in him that drew him back to Jesus, and by it drawing him back to Jesus, Jesus saved that man's soul. Not only physically healed him, but spiritually saved that man. Amen? God's so good. Amen? So, like I said, this week I was just kind of reflecting back, and I was thinking and I was remembering what all God has done in my life, where I'm at today, from where I have been, where I've came from. Thought about those pivotal moments in my life. You know, and like I said, they don't seem real huge. They truly don't. Not huge, but they were. And that just reminded me to remember what God has done for us and to give Him thanks and to give Him glory and always, always remember what He's done for us. Amen? So let me read you this right quick and we'll wrap it up. I wrote down, remember to give Him thanks. Remember to call upon His name. Remember to tell of His deeds. We're going back to 1 Chronicles. Remember to praise Him. Remember to talk of His works. Remember to honor His name. Remember to rejoice in the Lord. Remember to seek the Lord. Remember His marvelous works. And remember to proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Lift your hand where you're at with me right now tonight. Say, thank You, Father, for my salvation. Thank You, Lord, that You saved me from my fallen state. And we give You all the glory and all the thanks. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If y'all stand up with me. Sorry, I run yous over a few minutes. Jim didn't leave. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you so, so much for your goodness. And I'm reminded, Father, that just every day we thank you for that mercy and grace. God, you're so good to us. And you desire to see us prosper. You desire to see us walk in health. Father, you have so many good things in store for us. Father, I ask that you may reveal some of those things to us. Father, I ask that you increase our knowledge of you. Father, increase our word of you. Father, increase our heart for you. That's my desire, Father. And Father, I ask that you increase these people's heart. Father, let them draw closer and closer to you. Because that's all, when it gets right down to it, Father, that's all it is. It's you, Father. It's you that we long to see. It's you that we long to be with. It's you that we long to serve, Father. Thank you, Lord, so much that you thought of us. Thank you, Lord, that you know our name. Thank you, Lord, that you know our voice. Father, I ask that you bless these people. Father, bless them in their finances. Give them increase in that area. Father, I ask you that you bless them in their health. That we are a healed people. That's already been provided for us. And Father, I pray that we receive these things. Father, give us the ability to receive. Father, I thank you for the opportunity tonight. Father, I thank you for bringing these people out tonight. Father, I pray that they have a safe trip home and give them a peaceful night's sleep. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank y'all.